Change.
You must confess, said Pike. It's impressive.
I must,
said Vic, and she wasn't easily impressed. The People's Army might have lacked discipline, equipment, and supplies, but there was no arguing with its scale. It stretched off, clogging the road in the valley bottom and straggling up the soggy slopes on both sides until it was lost in the drizzly distance. There might have been 10,000 when they set out from Valbec. A couple of regiments of ex-soldiers had formed the bright spearhead, gleaming with new forged gifts from Savine Dan Brock's foundries. But order soon gave way to ragged chaos. Mill workers and foundry workers, dye women and laundry women, cobblers and cutlers, butchers and butlers, dancing, more than marching, to old work songs, and drums made from cookpots. A largely good-natured riot. Vic had half expected, half hoped, that they'd melt away as they slogged across the muddy country in worsening weather, but their numbers had quickly swelled. In came labourers, smallholders and farmers with scythes and pitchforks, which caused some concern, and with flour and hams, which caused some celebration. In came gangs of beggars and gangs of orphans. In came soldiers, deserted from who knew what lost battalions. In came dealers, whores and demagogues, dishing up husk, fucks and political theory in tents by roadways trampled into bogs. There was no arguing with its enthusiasm either. At night, the fires went on for miles, folk drawing dew-dusted blankets tight against the autumn chill, blurting out their smoking dreams and desires, talking bright-eyed of change. The great change come at last. Vic had no idea how far back that sodden column went now. No idea how many breakers and burners were part of it. Miles of men, women and children slogging through the mud towards Adua, towards a better tomorrow. Vic had her doubts, of course, but all that hope, a flood of the damn stuff. No matter how jaded you were, you couldn't help but be moved by it. Or maybe she wasn't quite so jaded as she'd always told herself. Vic had learned in the camps that you stand with the winners. It had been her golden rule ever since. But in the camps, and in all the years since she left them, she'd never doubted who the winners were. The men in charge. The Inquisition. The Closed Council. The Archlector. Looking down on that unruly mass of humanity, fixed on changing the world, she wasn't so sure who the winners would be. She wasn't sure what the sides were, even. If Leo Dan Brock had beaten Orso, there might have been a new king, new faces in the closed council, new arses in the big chairs. But things would have stayed much the same. If this lot beat Orso, who knew what came next? All the old certainties were crumbling, and she was left wondering whether they'd ever been certainties at all, or just fool's assumptions. In Starrickland, during the rebellion, Vic had felt an earthquake. The ground had trembled, books had dropped from shelves, a chimney had fallen into the street outside. Not for long, but for long enough, she'd felt the terror of knowing all she'd counted on as solid could in a moment shake itself apart. Now she had that feeling again, but she knew the quake had only just begun. How long would the world shiver? What would still be standing when it stopped?
I notice you are still with us, Sister Victorine.
Pike clicked his tongue and nudged his mount down the slope towards the head of the bedraggled column. Vic had a strong instinct not to follow, but she did.
I'm still with you.
So you are a convert to our cause? There was a hopeful piece of her that wanted to believe this could be Sybalt's dreams of a better world coming true, and was desperate to see it happen. There was a nervous piece of her that smelled blood coming and wanted to cut out that night and run for the far country. There was a calculating piece that reckoned the only way to control a mad horse is from the saddle, and the danger of keeping your grip might be less than the danger of letting go. She looked sideways at Pike. In truth, she was still trying to work out what their cause really was. In truth, she reckoned there was a different cause for every one of those little dots in the people's army. But this was no time for the truth. When is?
I'd be a fool to say I'm not at all convinced.
And if you said you were entirely convinced, I would be a fool to believe you.
Since neither of us is a fool, let's just say maybe.
Oh, we are all fools. But I enjoy a good maybe. Pike showed no sign of enjoyment or of anything else. Absolutes are never to be trusted. Vic doubted the two leaders of the great change riding towards them across the grassy slope would have agreed.
Brother Pike!
Called Rizenau with a cheery wave of one plump hand.
Sister Victorine!
Rizenau worried Vic. The one-time superior of Valbec was considered a deep thinker, but far as she could tell, he was an idiot's notion of a genius, his ideas a maze, with nothing at the centre, heavy on the righteous society to come, but light as air on the route they'd take to get there. The pockets of his jacket bulged with papers, scrawled theories, manifestos, proclamations, speeches he whined out to eager throngs whenever the people's army halted. Vic didn't like the way the crowd greeted his flowery appeals for reason with shaken weapons and howls of approving fury. She never saw more damage done than by folk acting on high principle. But Judge worried Vic a lot more. She wore a rusty old breastplate rattling with stolen chains over a ball gown crusted with chips of cracked crystal, but she sat her saddle astride, not aside, so the flounce of tattered petticoats was gathered up around her thighs, her muddy bare feet shoved into battered cavalry stirrups. Her face was like a bag of daggers, lean jaw angrily clenched, black eyes angrily narrowed, her usually flaming crest of hair turned brown by the rain and plastered wetly down one side of her skull. Principles only interested her as an excuse for mayhem. When her burners had taken the courthouse in Valbec, her jury had found no one innocent, and the one sentence she'd given was death. If Rizenau was forever gazing up, no thought for the wreckage he was stepping through, Judge was glaring down, trying to trample everything she could. And Pike? There were no clues on the ex-arch-lector's burned mask of a face. Who could say what Brother Pike was after? Vic nodded towards grime-streaked Adua, its pall of smoke inching irresistibly closer.
What happens when we get there?
Change, said Rizenau, smug as a rooster. The great change.
From what to what?
I am not blessed with the long eye, Sister Victorine.
Rizenau giggled at the thought.
From the pupa alone, it is hard to know what kind of butterfly might emerge to greet the dawn, but change.
He wagged a thick finger at her.
Of that you can be sure. A new union built from high ideals.
The world doesn't need changing, grunted Judge, black eyes fixed on the capital. It needs burning.
Vic wouldn't have trusted either one of them to herd pigs, let alone to herd the dreams of millions into a new future. She kept her face blank, of course, but Pike must have caught some hint of her feelings.
You appear to have doubts. I've never seen the world change quickly, said Vic. If I've seen it change at all.
I begin to think Sibbald liked you so because you were his opposite.
Rizinau laid a playful hand on her shoulder.
You are such a cynic, sister.
Vic shrugged him off.
I think I've earned it.
After a childhood stolen in the camps, said Pike, and a career of making friends to betray for Archlector Glockter, how could you be otherwise? But one can be too cynical. You will see. Vic had to admit she'd been expecting the great change to collapse long before now. For Judge and Rizinau to move past bickering to tearing each other apart. For the fragile coalition of breakers and burners, moderates and extremists, to shred into factions. For the resolve of the People's Army to dissolve in the wet weather. Or, for that matter, for Lord Marshal Ruxted's cavalry to crest every hill she saw and carve the ragged multitude to pieces. But Rizinau and Judge continued to tolerate each other, and the King's Own made no appearance. Even now, as the rain slacked off and they marched into the ill-planned, ill-drained, ill-smelling maze of shacks outside the walls of the capital, water spattering from the broken gutters and into the muddy lanes below. Maybe Orso's forces had been fought out against Leodan Brock. Maybe there were other uprisings to deal with. Maybe these strange times had stretched their loyalties in so many directions they hardly knew who to fight for anymore. Vic knew how they felt as the sun showed through and she caught her first glimpse of the gates of Adua. For a moment she wondered whether Tallow was in the city, fretted that he might be in danger. Then she realized how foolish it was to worry over one person in the midst of all this. What could she do for him anyway? What could anyone do for anyone? Rizinau nervously eyed the damp-streaked battlements.
It might be wise to take a cautious approach, deploy our cannon and...
Judge gave a great snort of disgust, dug her bare heels into her horse's flanks and rode forwards.
One cannot fault her courage, said Pike. Just her sanity.
Vic was rather hoping for a shower of arrows, but it never came. Judge trotted on towards the walls, chin scornfully raised in eerie silence.
You inside, she screamed, reining in before the gate. Soldiers of the Union, men of Adua!
She stood in her stirrups, pointing back at the horde, crawling up the soggy road towards the capital.
This is the People's Army, and it's come to set the people free. We only need to know one thing from you lot.
She held high one clawing finger.
Are you with the people or against them?
Her horse shied, and she ripped at the reins and dragged it around in a tight circle. That finger still extended, while the thunder of thousands upon thousands of tramping feet grew steadily louder. Vic flinched at an echoing clatter from behind the gates, then a slit of light showed between the two doors, and with a creaking of hinges in need of oil, they swung slowly open. A soldier leaned from the parapet, grinning madly and waving his hat.
We're with 'em! He bellowed. The great change!
Judge tossed her head and dragged her horse from the road, and with an impatient flick of her arm, beckoned the People's Army forwards.
Fat the king!
Screeched that lone soldier to a wave of laughter from the oncoming breakers, and he took his life in his hands by shinning up the wet flagpole to tear down the standard above the gatehouse. The High King's banner, which had flown over the walls of Adua for centuries. The golden sun of the Union, given to Harod the Great as his emblem by Baiaz himself. The flag folk had knelt to, prayed to, sworn their loyalty to, came fluttering down to lie in the puddle-pocked road before the gate. The world can change, Sister Victorine. Pike raised one hairless brow at Vic.
Just watch.
And he clicked his tongue and rode on towards the open gates. So it was, with almost over-heavy symbolism, that the People's Army marched into Adua, trampling the flag of the past into the mud.